Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said earlier, the primary text for this message is Psalm 91 that I read earlier. Helen, it wasn't all that long ago, only in the middle of November, that Larry went to the hospital for the first time experiencing weakness in his legs. And now here we are already, gathered in church with Larry's body before us, draped with a symbol of the righteousness that Jesus wrapped around Larry at his baptism. It all happened so fast, didn't it? But sometimes death is like that. You're going through life one day at a time, enjoying the company of the husband that you've been with for 60 years. And then this happens. It raises a lot of questions. It actually tears us apart, leaving a gaping hole in your life. Because the one that God joined you together with into one flesh, the one with whom God blessed you to have a deep and profound love and companionship, a life filled with so much joy, the same man that wrote you all of those letters from the Philippines, that helped you raise your daughter Cynthia, the one who listened to you with such care, the one who shared the same deep faith that you have in Jesus as your Savior. He's no longer here physically anymore. And that just hurts, doesn't it? It hurts so much more than you can describe, more than you can even understand right now. And in fact, those of us who haven't been in your place before, we simply can't grasp the grief that you are feeling right now, Helen. It doesn't change the fact that we love you deeply, though. But that's why death, that's why grief is so deeply personal, so hard to face when it comes your way. But Helen, and anyone else here who may be in the throes of grief right now, I want to remind you that even when it feels like you are all alone in this struggle, you are not. Yes, you have family and friends and fellow believers in Christ here with shoulders to cry on. That's a gift from God. Ears to listen. And with a readiness to help you in any way that we can help you. But much, much more than that, you have a loving Father who not only understands perfectly your deep grief, because after all, his only son was unjustly crucified. But remember, he is the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. He's the one who nurtured that relationship and life that you were blessed to have with Larry. In fact, his love for Larry and for you, Helen, is so deep, so profound, that he sent his son, Jesus, here to this earth to address the very thing that has brought us all together here today. The reason that Larry and all of us have to die. Because we all sin. It's Ezekiel 18, verse 20, that says, "The soul who sins shall die." But we Christians, we all know that Jesus took Larry's sin, along with yours and mine, upon himself when he was brutally crucified. So that whoever believes in him, John 3:16 says, even though they die here on earth, as we see with Larry today, they have eternal life. Still with all of that, God knows that you are hurting right now. And that's why he promises in this beautiful psalm that Larry carried around in the pocket of his fatigues in Psalm 91, verse 4, that, quote, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His, that is God's, faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. In fact, in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Now, though Larry was not necessarily what people would consider a big talker, one thing is for sure. He was not shy about his Christian faith. Especially in those last 2 months of his life, it became obvious to me, at least, why he carried Psalm 91 around in his pocket when he was overseas in the Air Force. His was no superficial faith. Larry believed wholeheartedly in every single word of Scripture, which meant that he, right along with you, Helen, his bride, lived every day, as verse 1 says, in the shelter of the Most High, in the shadow of the Almighty. And I saw that truth displayed profoundly as Larry lost the ability to move his legs, as his weakness continued to progress from there. He, as well as the doctors for a time, didn't know what was happening to him. And so it really was like he found himself in that snare that verse 3 talks about. And yet every time I visited and talked with Larry, his faith and trust in God's protection and promise to deliver him, to be with him in trouble, never wavered. Not one bit. And that is how Larry, even here today, serves as a great witness for all of us now when we face the troubles that are before us. Listen again, in fact, to verses 14 through 16 and the way that Larry and his unwavering faith in our gracious God can bring us great comfort today. God says, because he, in this case Larry, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I remember very well the moment that God fulfilled every one of those promises to perfection. It was Monday, January 20th. The weekend had been cold and snowy, but the sun was shining brightly just a bit after noon that day. Larry was resting calmly, no longer able to open his eyes. Yet when I arrived at his bed and started talking with him, I sensed a bit of an increase in his breathing. Maybe an awareness that I was there talking to him, sharing some promises from God's word, like the gospel reading, that, quote, no one is able to snatch Jesus' sheep out of his hand. And then after a little while, some prayers, some other Bible passages, it seemed like his breathing was becoming much weaker again. And the distance between breaths was increasing also. And so, Helen, you remember, I connected with you so that you could talk with Larry one last time. Helen, you shared your love for him, your appreciation for being such a great husband and partner in both life and faith, and more. And eventually, Helen, I remember very, very succinctly, you told Larry, everything is okay. Now you go be with Jesus. And so I suggested that we pray the Lord's Prayer together. And it was then, in the middle of that prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, that Larry took his last earthly breath. That God answered him just as he promised he would in Psalm 91. I believe that was God's gift of love and comfort, Helen, both for you and for me that day. Because it was at that point that the final words of our second reading in Revelation 21, verses 6 and 7, became Larry's eternal reality, where God said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That is Larry's life right now. Partaking of the spring of the water of life without payment. That's huge. Because just like all of us here, as a sinner, Larry didn't deserve God's gift of salvation. Nor could he earn or pay for it. But it is his, present tense, without question, and all because of Jesus. And so, Helen, and the rest of you, as Larry's family and friends, it is my prayer. I pray for God's comfort to be with all of you in your grief. And I pray the same confidence in trouble, that the same joy in Jesus that Larry had while he was here with us, that it will be your comfort, your confidence, and yes, your joy into eternity. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.